Welcome to the Heart of Show Business. I am your host, Alexia Melocchi. I believe in great storytelling and that every successful artist has a deep desire to express something from the heart to create a ripple effect in our society. Emotion and entertainment are closely tied together. My guests and I want to give you insider access to how the film, television, and music industry works. We will cover dreams come true, the road less traveled, journey beginnings, and a lot of insight and inspiration in between. I am a successful film and television entrepreneur who came to America as a teenager to pursue my show business dreams. Are you ready for some unfiltered real talk with entertainment visionaries from all over the world? Then let's roll sound and action. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever the day is, whatever the time is that you're tuning in, my beautiful listeners of the Heart of Show Business. I have two, not just one, a twofer today, a twofer deal of two amazing human beings and souls and just trailblazer change makers in the life coaching, business coaching space, empowerment space. And I am so excited to bring them on because I have to say, I believe that in life, just as in business, you know, your mindset is really what drives you to success. And then comes the creativities and the goal setting and all of that. And those two beautiful humans are exemplifying what it truly means to have leveled up in every area of their life and using their knowledge and techniques and their beautiful, beautiful spirit to bring about change to artists and business people everywhere. So without much ado, let me give you a little intro. We got on one side of the screen, we got my dear friend, Michael Nitti. Michael Nitti has been in this business of coaching for 30 years. He's a life and business coach. He has mentored showrunners, celebrities, business people. He's also been coaching platinum partners from the Tony Robbins world. He is a best-selling author with his book Trophy Effect, which was released in 2009. He has been working with so many people. He's even been featured in the Master Series on Extra Television. But there's so much more. You're just going to have to look at his website because otherwise I'll be here for 50 hours. So that's one on the left. And then we got on the right, his daughter, Erica Nicole Nitti, who I absolutely love having both, you know, father and daughter. You know me, I have a business with my mom, so I have the same type of synergy. She is a force to be reckoned with on her own. She stands on her own ground, although of course I'm sure she was raised properly by her dad, but she is herself a coach. She's an author. Together with her dad, they came up with an amazing, amazing book, which is called Mastery, which I highly recommend. I started reading it myself. She will tell you about, she's actually put in 10,000 coaching hours. So she's not a newbie in the space. And you do want to also listen to what she has to say about her experience and what she's about. I'm done rambling. Welcome to my show, Michael and Erica.
Thank you.
Hello,
what a privilege to be here.
Oh my goodness, it's so great to have you. And as a funny side story with my synergy with Michael, and you all creatives are going to know. So I coached with Michael personally, and you know, I go to all the film markets and I need to be at the top of my game when I go to the film markets. And I have an interesting memory of Michael when I was about to go to the Toronto Film Festival, where I was just so telling him about the deals and like, oh my God, how do I do it in the competitive space? How do I get in the room? How do I, you know, tell them to do my movie instead of somebody else? And so Michael says, what are you good at? And I'm like, I think I'm kind of like a wizard. I'm a magician. And so he says to me, put on your magician panties on and think you've got this virtual magician panties and go into those rooms and just make magic. And so TMI, he's somebody that I associate with magician pennies. So Michael, please tell me a little bit about your theory about the archetypes and also why you wrote the Trophy Effect to begin with, because that's kind of like an intro to your world as a coach. So what is a Trophy Effect?
Well, the trophy effect has to do with the fact that as human beings, we are all animals. It's so simple. And we all know that. We learned that in biology early on. But then we say, okay, that's interesting. What else you got? And we don't realize that it does drive us, the fact that we have a survival instinct. And most everyone knows that. And anybody who's a coach or, you know, or anybody who deals in the realm of biology and science or even life understands that we have a survival instinct. But what we don't do is get the degree to which it does affect our daily life. And because of our survival instinct as animals, we are always, our subconscious is always on the lookout for what could do us harm. It just is. What we don't have to, we could have a positive attitude, but the mind doesn't care. It's looking out for trouble. And it's going to find it. And it's going to find it in a way where it causes us to be careful of it rather than bold, concerned rather than excited, and all those great things. So that's how we show up in a reactionary state most of the time. It's that simple. So it's not bad and wrong, it's just what is. And so what we have is the ability to be conscious of that in every moment, notice our mind do what it does, pay it no heed at all. You know, it's for entertainment purposes only, and we step beyond it. And in the stepping up beyond it is where we invent ourselves and create ourselves in every moment. And that we can only do on purpose. So the bottom line is we are either living on purpose or we're not. And when we're not, it's because we're living in reaction. Now, that's really as simple as it gets. Now, there's other distinctions that we bring to the party. And then what I do is cause people to see it in fun ways. So if you're going to put on your magician panties, you can only do that on purpose. Your mind wants you to put on your get out of here, run away, and never come back to this place again panties. So the only way we can put on magician panties is to do it on purpose. And the archetypes have to do with the fact there are four basic archetypes. This is not my work. There were two gentlemen that wrote a book about the archetypes many years ago. Tony uses it. Other people, most anybody who understands, you know, this way of showing up on the planet knows that there's four basic archetypes. There's people that would say there's 12. You can break it down as many as you want. But what it is it's a way of causing yourself to show up in either two of the two masculine energies or showing up in the two feminine energies. And so when you need both, you need all, you want to be completely have access to all of it at any one time. But the key is to be intuitive enough to know which energy is appropriate for the moment. You could be really doing great and trying to enroll somebody in something, get them to do something, and you're being very on purpose and you're being a certain way and bringing a certain energy, but they don't, and how do they not get this? Why have they not signed up with me yet? Why have they not done this? And what's happening is you're probably being too much of one energy and not enough of another. And maybe you're not accessing your love energy. And most of the time, none of us are really accessing our magician energy. So first of all, it's nice to even hear that these things are able to be accessed. But then you want to cause yourself to learn what that all means. But here's the best part. Once you do, it has nothing to do with like where you're always analyzing, like, what energy do I need now? No, you become it. You become it. So it's almost intuitive that you're constantly dancing between everything. But you can only do that again on purpose. You'll slip into reaction from time to time when you see a look on a face over there that say, you know, it's not working, that something's not, you're not getting your point across. But then you cause yourself to be able to shift. So instead of it being a wild ass crazy, how do I even live and what goes on a daily basis stuff, if you can break it down into understanding intention reaction and understanding the archetypes, obviously life is a whole lot more than these few things. But it really is, if you just live from these things, and make it fun. Notice we had fun when we were talking about your magician panties. I didn't tell you to put on your magician, I don't know, whatever. It's fun. So you got to keep it fun. You got to keep it alive. And, you know, that's why you're built for this, because that's the definition of Alexia, fun and alive.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. No, that is such a great clarification. And, you know, obviously, Erica, for you, growing up with such a powerhouse like your dad, were you ever afraid when you were a child that it's like he's gonna like look and dig into your soul and just figure everything out for you and not let you figure things for yourself? Was there something like living in his shadow in a good way? You know, because it's like, obviously, if I had Michael as a dad, I would be like running to him every 2 minutes. Oh, daddy, they did this to me. What do I do? Like, how are you coping and finding your own truths by having a dad? And of course, your mom was also an equal powerhouse. How will you find your own truth and your own footing into doing your path to self-mastery and discovery?
So kind of the opposite of what you might think. I was not afraid. I was more, I think, the rebel, maybe testing. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing over there, if he is shaking his head or not. I think it was more, I was very much on my own path. I was very much, I never really saw myself as like in the shadow, as you said. And, you know, definitely as it became more, as I was getting into the field, then it became a little bit more like that. But growing up, it was always like, oh, that's dad, you know, or, oh, he's, you know, telling or talking to people and helping people. I honestly just thought it's what every dad did. I didn't know any different. Yet there was also something that I very much knew, there was a calmness. There was always something very grounded that I couldn't articulate at a young age. But as I look back, I can get that sense of there was always a respect and an understanding and a level of him talking to me as if I already knew the answer. And so that I do remember very early on. And that is obviously, you know, still to this day. And so, you know, it's one thing, we talk about this actually in the book, in my foreword, where I share that it was, I always remember, you know, dad that's on the phone with people, or he's talking to people, he's meeting with people, and, you know, he's, you know, coaching people. And I hear it all the time. You know, I would hear what he would be saying. Nothing would really log in, though. It was always like, oh, that's what he's doing with other people. And there was a moment, though, because, you know, ongoing, he definitely as a father, like I mentioned, was talking in a very calm way. It was always very much about asking me to communicate in different ways. And finally, at the age of 12, something hit where I was on some, you know, irrational tyrant or, you know, something at 12 years old. And he just, I remember specifically him going, you know, is this how you want to feel? What would you rather be feeling right now? And for whatever reason, there was just that moment. And that's really was my defining moment where I really realized and understood I don't have to be this out of control, crazy teenager. You know, I don't have to be demonstrating or acting out in this way. And it was the first time I felt my mind observe, or I felt myself observe my actions and my thoughts. And that changed everything for me. And that was it. That was at 12 years old. So that was a gift. And that's actually how we start out the book. So
that is amazing. Does that have to do also with a near-death experience? I think I read somewhere that you had an experience. Is that tied to that, or did that happen before all this?
You know, it's about a year before. So I was in a car accident at 13. And that experience for me, I definitely happened for me. It was an experience that I was supposed to have. And that was very much about me understanding why I'm here. And understanding that I, you know, the message that I received and going through the whole experience that you hear about, I did experience. And my message was to show people the light, to be the light. And that is why I'm here. And it was really something profound that I just began that was my purpose from that moment on.
That's amazing. It's very uncanny that it's very similar to your own breakthrough that you had, Michael, that you always tell me about, that was exactly, I guess we all have that. I think it's something that we all have in common, and we're having some sort of an awakening for our purpose on a grander scale. It's always related to not just how can I affect my own life, but how I can affect other people's life by doing well myself and sharing my presence with others. And which brings me to your book. You have here, I mean, I got it and I started reading and I love it. And what's interesting about it, I could be wrong, but Michael, you were posting a lot, almost about little tidbits of the book without us knowing that there were tidbits of the book, because I see like all your little stories that you do on your Facebook. And they're very related. And I think some of them are actually included in the book. Am I wrong? Or?
Oh, no, absolutely. I've been posting these things for a dozen years. And it was actually Erica that came to me and said, look, we got to put these in book form, not just the ones that have already been posted, because people can find those just on social media, but to expand it and then create a background behind it as to what you need to do. How can you show up in a way where these are not just cute little sayings and things that are interesting and things that, you know, that inspire you perhaps, but are actually allow you to cause yourself to show up this way, to own them in a way where you know that it's within you to live by these 12 basic distinctions. So the book is called Mastery, The Art of Living on Purpose, as we were talking earlier, living on purpose. And it's the 12 distinctions of mastery. So all of these little tidbits, you know, a good number of which I put on social media, probably at least half of them, but they've all been rewritten in a way where they're more impactful for the book. And then a whole bunch of new ones, obviously. Those are broken down underneath the chapters of these 12 distinctions. And so it really, the intention was, it's not just an insights into mastery. It actually is a teaching guide on how to show up and achieve mastery. And then somebody goes, well, what is mastery? Mastery is really mastery over your own life, where you don't feel like a leaf in the wind, where even though you'll go into reaction from time to time, because that's what we do as human beings, it doesn't cause you to lose sight of who you truly are in any given moment. And you can cause yourself to shift back into an intentional, powerful way of showing up on purpose, because you say so. You know, no matter what mood you're in, no matter what it was that happened, no matter how bad it was, you own, all of us own the ability to shift back. But we've been taught that we don't have that ability, especially if something traumatic has happened to us, because we've obviously been damaged, or we can't just recover from that, snap our fingers and pretend that traumatic thing didn't happen. And although I honor the fact that there's a memory in there about those traumatic things and things that we need to overcome, it still is true that we all own the ability to do so. But it's even a condition in the culture, or conditioned in win by the culture, that that would be fooling yourself, or you can pretend, when I promise you that's not true. I've coached people that have suffered great personal, things that, that nobody would think they would be able to snap back from. And then even if they do, there's this thought that, the best you can do is the best you can do. And the truth is, you can absolutely override it. Now, might there still be memories there? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it just becomes, that's what happened to me. And then it's even more powerful to know that, yes, that terrible thing happened to me, and I'm acting and living and showing up like it didn't, or that I learned from it, or that I'm even more conscious of the fact that my showing up is amazing, because who I am is not that, because I caused myself to overcome it. So that's all possible and talked about in the book.
Well, I have to say, there is some kind of misunderstanding, and I'm so glad you clarified on what mastery truly is, because I think sometimes when people look at the word master, it's almost like a very clinical, very sort of cold approach, like I'm going to be untouchable. You know, there's going to be nothing that happens to me. There won't be an emotion. And, you know, artists, as you know, are very emotional creatures. So they literally, right? They work every day and they're constantly being rejected. They have to tap into their emotions to put that on a movie or TV show. And then sometimes they bring those emotions home and then they kind of spill and they go out of control. So how would someone be able to achieve mastery, but at the same time, not bottle down the emotions, deal with them, and not shut them off? Because I think sometimes there is a feeling that people think that in order to achieve mastery, they have to shut off their emotions. And okay, I'm sure you don't agree to that, right?
I will allow Erica to answer this as well, but let me promise you that it's because of the emotion. I'm very passionate, I'm very emotional, and I coach a lot of actors and people in the industry, some very big time people and some great names, and I'm very privileged. And like anybody knows, as an actor, you bring that. You can read the script, you can get in front of the director and you can say what needs to be said. But there's those times where you're just being that. You are that. You are in that. You may not even be following the script completely, even though the director will want to kill you. But it's the truth is, if you're in that state, They'll let you continue and then decide later whether or not it's better than even the script. But it's still because you're in that intentional being state. You're showing up on purpose. And if you're doing it without any emotion, it's not going to show up as the same as it would when you're in that totally being state. So it's, but what we do then is when they say cut, and now you're back to just being a normal human being, waiting for what's next or getting a drink. But what I'm suggesting is that even if you go to get a drink or you go to the bathroom, you're doing it on purpose. Like, well, what do you mean going to the bathroom on purpose? There is never a reason at all in life to not be on purpose. You know, to cause yourself to be somebody who makes a difference. You know, acknowledge the cameraman as you walk off the set. Acknowledge the writer. Acknowledge this. Acknowledge that. I can't go into a store without leaving 5 or 6 people in the store feeling better than when I showed up. And I've got nothing that anybody else doesn't have. That's an intention to live causally, on purpose, with an intention to make a difference for the greater good. That's mastery. And you know perfectly well, if you're an actor or an actress, you're going to leave something in film, on video, or in some way, whether it's even just music, that is going to cause people to like just be outrageously happy, or they're going to be like moved, inspired. And that happens because you say so. Not because if maybe you're having a good day or the director knew what they were doing and you got lucky. It's you bring it on purpose. And then so many people, when they do that, they think, oh, that was a good day. I wish that would happen every day. It can. You're in charge of that. But one of the things that keeps you from doing it is you don't believe you can. You think. We've been taught that that can't happen all the time. Can't happen when you go to the grocery store. Can't happen when you're just driving down the street. Yes, it can. Why wouldn't it? You're in charge. Why could you not live on purpose in every single moment? So, Erica, you want to take it from there?
That is amazing. I love that. Masterclass. Let's go to like the female perspective of this. This is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, everything that was just said. And I would also add that I think because creatives and actors, and I work with quite a few of them as well, they're so passionate and there's so much emotions there. I think they judge themselves, you know, just like we all do. But there is a level of judgment that is very hard. They're very critical of themselves, and they don't get a lot of, in my experience working with them, they don't get told, you know, how they're doing. They just, you know, they're showing up for an audition. They either get it or they don't. They sometimes hear, they sometimes don't. There's so much inner conflict with a creative type that I think it's to the 100th degree of what someone else might have. There's a lot of assumptions. There's a lot of judgment that they put on themselves. So all of that passion that they bring to their script and to their auditions and to the movies and all of what they're doing is on the opposite side, the criticalness that they have of themselves. So there's these extreme sides. And really, when you think about it, I believe creatives are the most, actually, they're master of their emotions. Because when they go on screen, it's like, boom, well, you did it there. You know, it's like there's the brilliant way that they're able to just manage all of those emotions. But it's like if they turn on, and then, as you know, Dad was just mentioning, it's like they then go off screen, and it's almost like there's so much emotion that they were hiding that they judge themselves for feeling it. So I think there's just to answer, there's so much inner conflict, and you know, with creatives of not knowing necessarily maybe how to funnel some of that energy that's happening all of the time.
Yeah, that is so true. And I really still believe and I stand by the emotions are everything, just like you both said, because I see so many times even writers who are pitching a project in the room and they're so technical and they think they've got like the little log lines and this and that, but they don't exude anything in the room. They're not connecting with the buyers. They're not exuding their own passion. And so you could have the best story in the world, and if you don't connect with someone else, and then sometimes you may have the shittiest story, but because like you say, you walk in like an 11, as you say, or you just own it and you connect with someone, then they go, oh my God, this guy is pretty awesome. I want to do business with him or her. And writers are very in their head. For example, the opposite of, say, the actors, the writers, they just shut those emotions off completely. Because they feel they're so into trying to sell a story. And you know, you both are writers as well. And, you know, obviously you deal with that because you have to put it on paper. Does it ever cross your mind when you're writing or when you're coaching, both of you, do you have any thought that go, what if it doesn't work? Or what if somebody is not going to like my book? Or what if somebody is not going to like my coaching style? Like, how do you deal with that?
All the time. I don't know what you're going to say, Dad, but no, I, especially this being my first book, I had that all of the time, but obviously being, I believe I'm a master at this. I was able to be like, oh, there's that little voice telling me I'm stretching myself. To me, that voice is I'm at my comfort zone. This is new. I'm stretching. I'm learning. I'm growing. And to me, that voice indicates that I'm about to go to another level. So I've learned to dance with this voice. Is that voice there? Yes. I absolutely, until I die, I believe that voice is there. And every level that I go up in life, that voice is going to be along for the ride sitting on my shoulder. And I've learned to just kind of go, you know, and I don't avoid it. I'm like, oh, I'm hitting a new level for myself. But that voice is there. We're human. I think it's part of, you know, being human, that voice is going to be there to tell you things to try to keep you safe. Just like we're talking about earlier in that survival mode of wanting to just, you know, not keep you from going out and getting rejected or getting uncomfortable or people laughing at you or whatever that might be. I think it's really important to learn to dance with it and to anticipate it and have fun with it. And now it's where you can just embrace it and the world opens. Everything opens differently.
Oh, that is so amazing. It just reminded me of this great song from Florence and the Machine. Remember Shake It Off? And they said that you cannot dance with the devil on your shoulder. So shake it off. You know, it keeps going, you know, and it's true. You know, it's so true. Yeah. I love that. We have to be flawsome. We have to embrace our flaws. They might always be there in some way or the other, you know, maybe, you know, in a bigger amplified way or in a smaller way, depending on the mood and the circumstances. And we just gotta like keep creating and dancing with life. I love that, Erica. Michael, what say you? What do you have to add to something already wonderful like that?
I like what you just said about the song and the devil on your shoulder. And knowing that it'll never go away, it's almost like you just don't listen to it. And you say, well, what if it's telling you the truth? It's never telling you the truth, like, except fear. That's the only thing it's telling you. Your creative side is the truth. But that doesn't mean that everything you think or want to put out there is going to be, you know, the best thing ever or whatever it might be. But you have the ability, as you're putting it out there, to judge that. Listen to other people say, look, I don't even want to include the little blue person in this film, but that's not going to happen or whatever. But that's not because it was wrong and bad. It's because you're using common sense, but you're still open to inventing and creating and being who you are. So mastery doesn't mean that you suddenly have got it all together and now you're just sitting there going and being peaceful all the time. And no matter what happens, you don't go into reaction. And you simply just understand, and you have this massive worldview of understanding. Now, that would be great, and you can have that, but it's about being playing full out. It's not, and there are different personality types. There are purple, wet people that, you know, speak more softly and quietly because that's their personality type. And, you know, that's not that to say that, you know, when you achieve mastery as if it's something you achieve anyway. You don't achieve mastery, you bring forth mastery. You cause mastery. It's not a place to get to. It's a place to come from. But you have to know what that is, like really know in order to come from there. And so it's not like suddenly you're sitting around cross-legged and saying om all the time. Okay, you could, but it's about showing up, and it's showing up on purpose with an intention, with love in your heart, because you say so and because you can. And does it become more strong and more accessible over time? Sure, and not much time, by the way. But as long as you know that this is who you are and this is who you're being, it's not about why you're showing up. I shouldn't say that because it's living on purpose. So there is a big why. But it's not about being a certain way or suddenly having a certain personality that is now shifted. It's just pure intention. It's like causing yourself to show up in a way that makes a huge difference, not a small difference. It's like you don't show up great, you show up awesome. And people say, well, that means you're always at a high level, or you're always just over the top. Or no, you can show up awesome just simply sitting there, just being moved and inspired by something. But why would you ever show up in anything other than an awesome state, than in a full state, than in a moved state, in a loving state? You know, I mean, I mean, when you make love, do you do it kind of like, you know, quietly and, you know, and hope you don't wake up the neighbors? Maybe some people do. I suggest you don't do that. Wake their asses up. You got to live out loud. That doesn't mean that you're not appropriate at times, and there's times and places for things. But you bring it because you can. And we have this personality or something. Well, that's not my personality. Who invented that? You weren't born with a personality. You made it up when your parents yelled at you when you're a kid and said, get your elbows off the table and don't talk until you're talking to. Okay. Oh, I'm more quiet. Whatever.
Wow.
And I think, it may add to that. And I think that, you know, one of the things I love about our book is that from that place, so many people say, I will be judged for that. It's not, like you said, it's not in my personality. Well, and then they want to do that. Like, they're like, okay, I'm ready. And then when it's just something that's not as natural for them. And then that's where the fear of judgment, the fear of rejection, the fear of, I can't be that way, but I really am. And that's what, so we also have that in the book as well, because that is a very common thing to anticipate, where when you're going to go, when you're playing full out in life and you're, you know, making love so the neighbors can hear, and you're, you know, doing those things, the first thing that's going to be on your shoulder is, what are people going to think? And we really wanted to make sure that we speak to that, because that's normal. That is absolutely normal. And again, showing up in intention and looking at it from a very purposeful place is very different than, I'm going to just have to sit back and not do anything because I will be perceived differently and I will be judged.
That is an incredible way of looking at things. And which brings me to, both of you are very, very successful coaches. And how can somebody benefit? And I'd love to hear from both of you, because obviously you both have a very, I'm sure, very different coaching style, although, you know, you believe in the same things. How can somebody benefit? I know that helps, because obviously I've done it, but how can somebody benefit? They've read the book, they know this is great, I'm going to do it, and then all of a sudden they get all fired up, and then something happens, they're like, oh no, it doesn't work, I'm never going to be able to do it. So where does coaching come in into this way to be able to live in mastery throughout life?
Well, coaching is a little bit like holding someone's hand while they're getting, you know, a coach, a sporting coach, you know, they'll do the same thing. They don't just throw you the ball and say, go for it. They're going to teach you distinctions. You know, don't shoot the ball this way, come up this way. You know, they've been there, they've done that. So they want you to learn from you doing it and making mistakes or whatever it would be, and encourage you. But it really is holding one's hand, but not from a place of they have no, and you also have to know that they have it within them. You know, because so many times we think, well, I just have a special talent or somebody. Now, are there some people out there that obviously have some amazing talent? Some of the top sports stars, the top actors and actresses, the people who are the tops in their field. I actually think they're just bringing it from a higher level of intention. They really, truly are. They just bring it. They refuse not to have it be great. I'm going to be this person. I'm going to be this person. You know, you got actors and actresses that are known for the fact that they are really out there. That they get it from years of just perfecting their craft and making it better. Sure, they probably weren't that way the first role they ever had, but I promise you, it wasn't too many roles in before they realized that they could just bring that. And it comes from a practice of excellence. So the real bottom line is excellence. You know, most of us just say, "Well, excellence is something I bring to the party if it's really necessary." Well, what if you just bring, like I said, I bring excellence to the party when I go to the grocery store. Why would I leave it in the car? Why would I not do everything from a perspective of being on the lookout for someone to compliment, to inspire, to say something? I often say to people, it's like, I was just at the doctor today, and he was amazing. He was wonderful, because I also expected him to be wonderful and amazing. And he said some things that caused me to see things in a different way about something, a procedure I might be having soon. And I said, you've done this before. You know? And it was like, but there was a compliment in there. There was an acknowledgement of him in there. You know, he's been doing it for many, many, many years. But there was also an intention in my voice, not to like maybe blow smoke up his ass so he does a really good job with me. And
I want to stick around a few more years. Yeah, you know, yeah. Lots to do. Yeah.
But because why wouldn't I do that? There's an acknowledgement of who he is. I even told him a story of how my wife found him on the internet before my doctor even recommended him. Hello, how did that all happen? Well, there's the thing called synchronicity. There's the thing called affecting the universe in a way where those little coincidences show up all the time. And then being able to recognize those, we cause those. We cause those, but we don't cause them if we go into an office and just sit there and don't say anything. And then when you leave, say, thank you, I'll see you next time. It doesn't happen. You have to bring it on purpose. Hence the name of the book.
So that's how I got working with you, Michael. And like, obviously, you're like, boom, top coach, Erica. Why would someone want to work with you? Not, in a derogatory way. Say, why should I work with you now that we've spoken to Michael? No, why should someone work with Erica Nitti?
Well, I think coaching in general and myself, one, I think, or many, many reasons, but I think it's also, people don't, they need an open forum to be vulnerable. And I think, reading the book, it allows them to get some distinctions. They have many distinctions, 12 actually, but many. And so what it does is it's a one-on-one to be able to be vulnerable and be for people to be able to express, this is where I am challenged, or this is what I started thinking about when I read this and I realized, I think I've, maybe they have a realization that they're not perfect, or they're able to express where their challenges are. So what I love most about working with people that is just watching them understand who they are, getting insights into who they are personally. So taking what they read in the book, applying it to themselves. And, what we're able to do is be able to, again, inspire them, give them more insights, allow them to be honest with themselves, allow them to be vulnerable, and keep reminding them of how amazing they are. And it's not blowing smoke up their ass. We're being intentional. We're holding them accountable to being intentional. Because as I mentioned earlier, so often people are not. And so by being intentional, they're uncomfortable. And so there's so many things that they're experiencing when they go out into the world to practice this, that we're the sports coach. So now we're seeing them, we're able to work with them as they're out in the field of life, playing their full out. And then we get to work with them in a very vulnerable way that I don't think very many people have people in their life to be able to do that with. And that's just such a gift, that I love to be able to do for people, is give them that space to be open and honest and transparent. And I give it right back through being very intentional and helping them see where their growth is and how to step into that and be excellent every single day.
That's amazing. And you know what? It exactly, as it goes full circle into my magician panties stories, all it takes is a 2-millimeter shift, right? As we all know. And so Michael already knows that I can sell a refrigerator to an Eskimo. So it's not like he told me how I can be a better salesperson, but he helped me make that 2-millimeter shift so that I could look at another aspect of myself that I could bring to the table intentionally, to have an incredible film convention or whatever. And it's like the same thing with a coach for an athlete. You just need a 2-millimeter shift to do that 3-pointer on the court. And sometimes you can see it yourself, but either Michael or Erica, when they work as your coaches or whoever you choose to hire, they will help you bring that extra shift, right? That extra special sauce that is already there, but maybe we don't see it even because it's so close that we don't see it.
Or you're avoiding it. You might really know it's there, but you don't know how to bring it forth, even though it's usually very small. And yes, to all of that, the excellence lives inside of you. It just needs to sometimes kind of, coming out.
Or what if you bring it forth and it still doesn't work, or it fails, or whatever it would be. And then, exactly. So now, I brought my excellence to the party and it wasn't enough and I didn't get the role or whatever. Well, wait a minute. Okay, well, bring it and bring more. Or, go home and practice again and bring it back. And if it's too late, bring it the next time. So, but there can't be any thought that it's not in there. There's no way it's not in there. It's impossible not to be in there. We all have the ability to bring this to the party, all of us. It's crazy to even think that we don't, but our brain tells us we don't have it, or we don't have it as good as somebody else. Now, that's because we're also measuring up maybe talent or you know, you're like, you got some basketball player that scores 40 points a game. That, yes, there are extraordinary people out there. They make the halls of fame. They are the champions. They might, but there's really only a small distinction between them and maybe the person that comes in second or third. And, you know, the person, and then you just keep striving, you keep practicing, you do what you do. But we all have that ability. Now, there's some natural talents we have for whatever reason. You know, I'm not going to be playing basketball anytime soon. But there's still an ability to know that, you know, whatever your passion is, you have the ability to bring it all in every moment. And you have to know that you have the ability to bring it with extreme and complete certainty. Because that's usually what's missing for people. There's a little bit of doubt, even when they're bringing it. And then you think, well, because the doubt is there, I must be doubtful. No, that doubt is there because you're human. Step beyond the doubt, bring excellence to the party, and that's all you need to do. It's that simple. I know it's oversimplified, but it really is that simple.
It is simple at the end, and it is all about certainty. I mean, I see sometimes writers that go, how did that person sell that script? You know, because they thought they could, and they just did. You know, they walk into a studio and they go, okay, this is the best script I've ever written, and they're so certain about it that somebody buys them, and they may have zero experience. And then there is somebody who maybe has written 20 movie projects and nothing ever happens, and you're thinking, why? They're excellent by technically what they do, but there's clearly also the certainty factor, which again goes with mastery and being intentional and all of right. that, which I absolutely love. So if you were to tell me what's next, is this going to be a part two to mastery, or is it going to be a standalone, or where is this going beyond the book? I want to know. I want the scoop, people.
Yes, we're working on some other projects that are going to be related to the book. And what's been so great is we've gotten such amazing feedback from people reading it. And, you know, we knew, I mean, we really do, from the very beginning, we knew this was going to have a huge impact. And it has had that with many people. And so to hear, you know, to be able to hear their distinctions, how they're applying it, but then also what they want more of. So we're using this time right now to listen and to find out, what are people asking for? Where are they not understanding, struggling, still wanting more of? And so we're in that phase right now because we know there's more coming. So I can tell you that.
Oh, your listeners, you just got scooped.
What's also great is we have a lot of contributors, even if it was just a quote of theirs or a couple of quotes or other things they contributed. So, you know, a lot of people in this industry, a lot of people, you know, friends of yours, friends of ours, but not just people, you know, that are friends, but I mean people that are big time in the self-help world, the motivational world, the inspirational world, I should say. And their quotations are in there, and they're not in there lightly. There's nothing in this book that's there lightly. Every single sentence is there for a reason. Every single word is there for a reason.
Oh yeah, I recognize a few of our tribe members in there, and I saw a few of those. It was like, oh my gosh, they just got it. Where is mine? No, it's all good. It's all good. You'll get me on the next one.
We will get you in the things we do that are, you know, accessory stuff, maybe Zoom courses or things like that, where we'll invite others to come in and do that. So yes, absolutely.
Oh, I so love this conversation. I just know my listeners are going to be jumping up and down and be so inspired and so fired up by the both of you. Everybody who's listening to this episode, run to download this book, get a hard copy. I actually like having hard copies, but if you can, just get it on your iPad, highlight it. I'm telling you, I highlighted half of it already. So just get the book. And if you have any questions and you want to get in touch with Michael or Erica, how can anybody find you guys beyond, of course, your official websites that are easy to use?
Yeah, well, you could go to, we have a website, distinctionsofmastery.com. And there is actually, even right now, there is a download that you can, a free download on how to be more certain, on engaging into supreme certainty, which is what we were just speaking about. So there's a really great tool on that. So you can definitely go there, download that. You can contact us through the website, just go to the contact page, or you can, just as you mentioned, go to our individual website pages and contact us just through there. I believe, you know, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I'm not sure, you know, Michael can tell you his. So you can find us. You can find us and contact us.
Yay. It's so easy. Are you on the talk? As they say, they call it, I didn't even know they called the TikTok talk. Are you on the talk?
I am not yet. I'm having many people like trying to push me, you know, going like, do it. But not yet. No.
Yeah. It's too much, but it's like social media overload. Michael, where can people find you beyond your, of course, Facebook, where you can get to see all his beautiful daily musings and writings? Where can people find you?
Well, actually, Facebook's one of the best. It takes a lot of heat lately for a lot of this stuff, but I've been off Instagram for a while, but I'm now coming back on. I've just been in the middle of, you know, the move, and life has been completely crazy for 4 or 5 or 6 months. And coming back from that. So really, the website is just like anybody else's website. It just tells you some stuff about me, and then you can, you know, reach me via the email there. But it's like, still, distinctionsofmastery.com is great. You know, Michael A. Nitty on Facebook is a great way to reach me. And then you get to read some of my stuff on a daily basis. I don't put anything out there lightly. It's always something that's inspirational and meaningful, just not a little bitty quote that says, yes, have a nice day. So that's really the best way to go.
What a wonderful, wonderful podcast interview with the both of you. And, you know, just if I need to close it up and as a piece of advice, and I'm sure both of you agree to what I have to say, is that we live in times where we are so quick at judging, constantly judging others for the different viewpoints, for the different lifestyle, for everything different, for everything that is happening outside that is beyond our control. And the only way that I can tell you how to keep yourself sane and keep it together is to constantly work on yourself. Focus on yourself is not a selfish thing to do. It is something that is going to help you navigate this crazy life that we're in, and obviously be a bringer of the light, like both of you said. So how can people, last question, because I know I keep saying it's over, but I could have you guys for 2 hours. How can people handle themselves in this very interesting, challenging time when there's so much attacks going on, you know, between people, between the media? How can they keep it together? Is it like a quick piece of advice that you can keep them focused on what's truly important?
Yeah, I'll start. Well, I think one, take a breath, slow down, take a breath. And before responding, because everybody right now is so easily triggered, I think one, just having that awareness, and then be curious. I think there's it's too quick to judge, like you mentioned. And so breathe and be curious and listen to understand. I think going back to those basic things, I think is so, so key right now to maintaining your own energy and really trying to connect with others as well.
Wonderful response. Curiosity. Good point. Noted. Michael.
Well, I think unless you're somebody who's actually somebody who is in the political arena, and you've got a reason to step up and call and voice your cause for a reason that you truly believe in, and you see something that isn't working because something is going against that, but it's for the greater good, not your own personal agenda. People think, well, my personal agenda is important because I think I'm right. Well, I would invite you to rethink that no matter what side of the aisle you're on, okay? Because if you're really into inspiring change and something of magnitude to transpire out there, you've got to come from a place where you understand everybody's perspective, whether you agree with it or not. You know, people don't get up in the morning and just say, I'm going to be, something, you know, crazy today, or I'm going to, no, they don't. And if they are, I would suggest you simply turn them off, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. But cause yourself to listen to what's going on out there. And then what is your outcome? What is your intention? Not your point of view, not your opinion, and to scream louder than anybody else. What is your outcome? What is your intention? What is it about that you want to cause to happen out there in support of others? And then put that out there if that's what you're inclined to do. But have empathy and compassion, and know that nobody got up in the morning just to, put them stupid out there. So, and I also always tell people, I don't care what side of the political arena you're on, take a more moderate stance. Yeah. It's like, seriously. I mean, because there's aspects of both sides that make sense if you allow yourself to listen to what they're saying and why. It's just, look, there's something bigger than just the politics of it all. There's something about coming from your heart and connecting with human beings and knowing that everybody gets up in the morning with, you know, a desire, not an intention, unfortunately, but a desire to make their day great. But they knew it needed to ship that in into intention. So that's basically it.
Wonderful, wise words. It's been wonderful to have you both. And I completely agree. For me, moderation is key in life and in business and in politics and in everything. You just have to listen to everybody's viewpoint, because there is a reason that people have a point of view. So it's not just unilateral world. And we all need to learn to listen to ourselves and to others more and bring curiosity. I really like that. Have a curiosity about why somebody thinks that way and embrace that point of view. Thank you both for coming on my show. It's been wonderful. I can't wait to publish this. And a big round of applause for Michael Nitti and Erica Nitti on The Heart of Show Business and their book called Mastery. Get it now. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Heart of Show Business. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend. You can also subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast player. If you have any questions or comments or feedback for us, you can reach me directly at theheartofshowbusiness.com.